That sounds like bullshit.
Sounds like we're getting fucking launched in outer space or something.
That sounds like CNN. It took me forever to get that. Yeah.
Like breaking news. Our announcer's the fattest fuck on the world.
Hey now. Sponsored by
thepowermagazine.com. You can buy 30 Hey Now shirts at how much you bench that net.
Sounds a little porn like too, this music.
Yeah.
You alongside Silent Mike and Jim McDee. Here's your host.
I love how he says my name.
Silent Mark.
I'm taking auditions for somebody who can recreate that in a style more pleasing to
me. We should have a contest.
Somebody who's not so fat.
Oh, we have a contest. I have to mention this. Oh, my God. Before we start.
We have a contest?
Yeah. So we got a contest for...
push-ups in the shower? As many reps as possible?
People always say...
Go to failure. Total failure.
So we got a Reebok contest going on here. We're giving away some custom sneakers. You're going to get a card to make your own custom Reeboks. What we're going to do is the Wednesday that this album drops.
Already.
I know. Follow me here. All you have to do to be entered is retweet a tweet from me, Silent Mike with 2 K's on Twitter.
Jim McD, STTV.
Or Mark Smelly Bell on Twitter.
Or at STJimSack.
All on Twitter. And all you have to do is follow Reebok1 on Twitter. Retweet. Follow Reebok One. Two steps. You'll be entered. Someone's going to win, I don't know, $150 value gift card for some custom sneakers.
Oh, my God.
And back to the bullshit.
That sounds amazing. Anyway, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just feeding the world sneakers, man. I'm just fucking giving back to the people.
You worked on the script last night.
I wrote it out. I sent it to Jim.
Jim?
I have no idea.
Oh, he didn't
get
the script.
It must went to my spam. That's probably what it was written on. Spam.
Oh my God.
Spam's a disgusting creature.
It sounds gross.
Well, it's kind of like Asian, I think, right? Asian guys eat
that
a lot of
ham?
Spam.
Oh, and it's because in Hawaii, like like the only meat that you can get or could get at one point, it was already canned.
What is it?
So
it's just spam, and they wrap it in seaweed and eat it. What's it called?
I don't know. It sounds gross.
Every party I go to has that.
I've never had it. Have you ever had it?
No. I didn't eat it. No fucking way. I'll eat sushi, but not like spam. I've never had any spam.
Really?
Stuff
ever?
In a can just be weird in general. What about like fucking raviolis and stuff like that?
I'll eat raviolis in a can.
Chef Boyardee?
Yeah, that's good.
What about the meatballs? What the fuck are those?
Those aren't meat,
but
they
those
are good.
So good.
They're good, amazing. But they're not meat. Chef Boyardee fucking SpaghettiOs. Oh, my God. Even as a kid, I was so fat. You open two cans, cook both cans in a huge fucking salad bowl.
Mr. Larson, you ever feed your kids any of this poison before?
No.
Not SpaghettiOs?
No SpaghettiOs.
I'm sending your kids to child's care. Like, they need to get taken away from you.
What about those goldfish or whatever? Those things?
Oh, yeah.
Those little fucking
crackers? Yeah, crack.
Ones?
Yeah.
They eat the shit out of those.
So good.
And you eat some, too.
Oh, yeah.
God damn. How's it always happen?
Is that how the 570 bunch came about?
Yeah.
Goldfish. Tons and Cheez-Its? Yeah.
585.
585.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Don't
whoa, my God. I just became really loud.
Don't
hey, now. 585.
So that 578 bench was...
My wires were crossed a little bit.
My wires were crossed?
Just a little bit. We're good now.
All right. So the 584 bench was pretty good, but if you had Cheez-Its, it would have been 585.
I did do 585.
Oh, son of a bitch.
We're just really screwing this up.
But somebody did 588, right?
Yeah.
But he was
somebody
he was fucking
you.
Russian, right?
He was Russian, so it really doesn't count.
So you still have an American Portland record?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Maybe more like in Clackamas County, maybe.
You're the Portland world champion.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That works out pretty good.
There's a lot of people in Portland.
How do we get this record back to America?
By
I don't
using
like
the slingshot.
This.
Yeah,
I don't
hey
like
now.
This kind of this kind of bullshit coming from the Russians.
Yeah, I think just continue with my training, you know. Right after I broke the record, I was in a car accident, so I took, you know, probably 4 or 5 months
off.
That's
a good excuse, all right? Give us a couple more excuses and a sob story.
And then, you know, now training is going really well, and, you know, the key is just trying to cut down to 220 again and go back for like a 590, 600,
right
in that ballpark. I feel pretty comfortable about.
That'd be awesome. And you're going to compete at Chris Duffin's meet coming up, right?
Yeah, next weekend. I think it's an APA meet.
Jesse Burdick will be there.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good.
I know. Sorry. It's going to be awful with him there.
All of his followers will show up.
Yeah, his fat face is going to be there. Your fat face is going to be there. Not going to be able to squeeze into the same room.
That's a lot of fat bald heads in one spot.
Yeah, it is. Son of a bitch. What's you've known Chris Duffin for a long time. You used to train with him when I went up there and trained with Duffin a few years back. You were training with him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that a little bit. Tell us about how you know Chris and stuff.
Well, originally we knew a mutual friend, and we began training in this mutual friend's garage, and he showed up from time to time, and we got to know each other, and slowly I started then training with him in his garage off and on, and you know, I've known him for a long time, and it's kind of nice to see him kind of progress. I remember training with him the first few times, and you know, he was probably benching right around 315, 340.
And what were you lifting around then? This is like, what, 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, no, it was probably about 8, 9 years ago.
Okay.
And I was probably raw benching like 475, 485.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And
100 pounds.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was kind of training primarily for single ply benching. So my numbers are skewed a little bit just because I wasn't focusing just on raw benching. And so it's been nice to see Chris kind of transition into, you know, owning his own gym and doing all these things in the strength community. And
yeah, he's super innovative. I remember he had all these different gadgets and stuff when I went up there. He had, you know, the super lift, and he had, you know, the bench. He had it hooked up to some sort of fucking hydraulic thing.
Oh, my God.
He's always got some sort of weird shit he's cooking up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I went into the gym, and he was all excited to show me you push a button for the uprights of the bench to go up and down.
Right.
That's like, what he was telling us.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's crazy. Yeah. So instead of waiting, you know, and having somebody have to hold up the weight and change the rack height, we could do it really easily.
Right.
And even with 500-600 pounds on there, this hydraulic just lifts it up and down, and it's, I mean, it's so easy.
What else do you use that for?
Well,
yeah, he's got unique
couple
ideas.
Attachments.
Yeah, he's got unique ideas about just about everything, like including, like, you know, dropping weight and stuff. You were telling me a story about you were dropping weight with him, and he rigged up something weird for that, even, right?
Yeah. So he originally told me he had a sauna at his house, and so I thought he actually like physically had a sauna. And so,
he didn't. It's something he rigged up himself.
Yeah. So I show up there, and I only have 6 or 7 pounds to lose, and. And he said, let's go down to my basement. And again, I'm thinking there's going to be, like, an actual sauna. And he says, all right, let's go in the bathroom. And I'm like, you got to be kidding
me. Yeah, hey, what are you talking about, Chris?
I've seen movies start like this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good. So he hooked up this, like, propane tank. like had some hot water going in the shower, had a blowtorch, had all kinds of shit going on. And, like, I'm sitting on the sink, and he's sitting on the toilet. We're still touching because the bathroom is so small, right? And I'm – this touching? Is like – this is like a
– Yeah, yeah. What part of you is
– It's very touching.
Dick to dick? Dick to butt?
No, we were doing pole to hole. I mean, it was – you know, and it was just – I mean, he set it up, though, and it...
There was propane involved?
Oh, yeah.
How'd you guys come out alive?
Well, luckily it didn't explode.
No all carbon I remember, monoxide poisoning or anything?
All I remember is him calling me a pussy and telling me I can't leave. And I'm sitting in there, right, going lightheaded, hitting my head on the door, and finally I couldn't take it. I fell out of the bathroom. He slams the door shut, and I crawl out into the basement, and I fall asleep face down because I'm.
I think that's called passing out.
I was so out of it, and he woke me up like an hour later. He's like, "Hey, man, time to go." Like, okay.
How many pounds did you actually drop? Probably like 12.
Yeah, I ended up. I was well below.
Yeah.
And how much semen was coming out of your butthole the rest of the day?
Just leaking.
Jesus Christ!
But
he woke you up an hour later, huh?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know really what he did.
Your butthole just torn to pieces or what?
I had no recollection of what happened.
God damn. We got to watch out for that.
Interesting, though.
I'm never going up there.
It's the Chris Duffin propane tank trick.
It's his method. Sign up for it now.
Wow.
But so he challenged me to make weight for this competition. You know, originally he was kind of the driving force of me dropping. I was originally at 286 pounds. And I made a comment one day that I was going to drop down to 242, and he started laughing at me. And it really pissed me off. You know, I'm like, fuck you.
Son of a bitch, yeah.
I can do anything I want. And so he was really that driving force, because it kind of felt like every time I had accomplished something, he said, well, you still can't do this. And then that kind of drove me a little bit to do whatever. So when I made weight at that competition, he had to read a children's story in front of a bunch of people and look like a fucking idiot. So,
that's God great. Damn.
But that story, however, puts in a different light the story that he told us about being in Australia with Sam Bird. And Sam Bird stayed with him. Like, I'm seeing this story differently now. Now I'm seeing Chris barring the door, not letting Sam Bird out. And in his weakened state, he can't fight back.
You're hanging out with me.
some sort of meth lab set up with propane.
Exactly. Some kind of Australian propane.
I don't fall for Chris's shenanigans anymore. When he says, let's go do this, I'm out.
You don't even train in his gym anymore. Like, I'm not going anywhere near that guy. He's out of his mind.
I almost got pregnant because of him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast, probably.
Yeah. He really is a mad scientist, isn't he?
Yeah. You kind of mentioned the driving force behind, you know, some of the things he told you. He mentioned that you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that something you've heard all your life with the situation with your? Why don't you explain first of all, kind of what the situation is with your legs?
Mm-hmm.
I know you've kind of told me before, but share that with our audience here.
So when I was born with dislocated hips and club feet, and then one other thing that's like
what is club feet mean?
Club feet are where my ankles continuously turn in, and they couldn't.
So your like big toes were kind of touching.
Yeah,
each other
I mean
almost.
I was
okay.
like kind of walking like that, or you know born like
were
that.
Were you able to walk when you were young?
Yeah, when I was young, but so this happened right when I was first born, and so obviously I wasn't walking at that time, but my feet were turned in and they couldn't. They were trying to put them in braces to straighten them out, and it wasn't working. So. I think they did like 14 or 15 corrective surgeries, in the first 2 years, trying to get them to straighten out. And so I was in a body cast most of that time. And, you know, so I was just kind of crawling around, army crawling and stuff. Then, as I started progressing through, you know, getting a little bit older, the doctors would say, you know, you can't walk. If you do walk, you're not gonna be able to walk without assistance. And if you ever get to that spot, you'll never be able to walk without braces on.
And what age are you at this point?
I'm probably 4.
Okay.
Right about that ballpark. And, you know, and I, obviously at that age, I didn't absorb what they were telling me. I wasn't absorbing that when they said I can't. So, of course, when I got to that spot, you know, I see everybody else walking. I just started walking. And then as I got out older, you know, wearing braces to school, I mean, it kind of kinked my style a little bit.
Didn't go good with your Jordans.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to wear shorts like everybody else, and I looked different. And so one day I just decided I was going to take them off and put them in my locker and we'll see what happens.
Right.
I ended up getting caught, and my mom caught me. Maybe
so your stability compromised without the
braces? It was definitely like watching like a baby deer walk at first.
Right,
you know, it was really difficult. It was very odd because, you know, with the braces on, my ankles didn't roll. My feet stayed really flat, and my feet stayed straight. And when I took it off, I mean, all that went away.
Right.
And it took a couple of weeks to get used to it. But the day that I took them off and I got caught not wearing them, I never put them back on.
Right. And you, at that point, I mean, are there other kids, you know, teasing you because your legs look quite a bit different and stuff like that?
Yeah. Kind of the teasing started, you know, really in elementary school, going all the way through middle school and high school. And I mean, even to this day, you know, I'm 35 years old and, you know, I'll post a picture of me working out and somebody will say, somebody skipped leg day.
It's right, like, right.
Yeah,
right.
No shit, you jackass.
Yeah.
You know, right. I skipped a whole bunch of them. Yeah, so I mean.
Yeah, you have very inferior calves. Let's just point that out right now. Yeah. Talk about how shitty your calf development is.
Yeah, we have a really good friend and I don't know, but his thing is team no calves.
Yeah. Yeah, I always get hashtag no calves.
Yeah. You're the captain.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Great joke, everybody.
Yeah. Haven't heard that one before.
Never heard it before. So when I went to middle school, I had to go to a different school than everybody else because the school that was for my area had a bunch of stairs and I had to have another surgery. So I was going to be in a wheelchair most of the year. And
that kind of stuff upset you at that age? I mean, were you like, fuck that, I want to go to this other school. That's where...
Yeah,
you know, that's where my buddies are going, right?
Man, I fought.
Yeah,
you know,
imagine that would be a big deal. That would be a big deal to me if my friends were going to a certain spot and I had to go a different one.
Yeah.
Was it just not regulations with ramps at that time
so
or whatever?
At the other school, it was completely flat, and the school I was supposed to go to had like four sets of stairs or four floors. And I had even talked about just using crutches and just kind of going up them, and everybody was completely against it. Just in case I fell, you know, it would be a huge liability. So I had to go to this different school. I had no idea who anybody was. And so it was really hard to explain to everybody now why I'm in a wheelchair, why I'm going to be in a wheelchair for most of the year. You know, when I get out of the wheelchair, I'm still going to walk funny. You know, I'm going to be different than everybody else. And it was really tough. And that was kind of when I had my first experience of the I can't type do stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I couldn't do PE, so I was forced to do a weight training class. And
and there you go. Right?
Yeah, I went in there and, you know, I was kind of always built a little bit bigger than most people. And I contribute a lot of that to when I was a baby, you know, having the body cast on, kind of army crawling everywhere. And, you know, when I get out of chairs or climb up a ladder or whatever I do is typically with my arms.
So if you want to set a world record in the bench press, everybody army crawl for a little while. Yeah. Pretend your legs don't work for you anymore.
Yeah.
Try that for a couple
try
years.
That.
Were you pretty good at lifting right off the bat, or was it a little weird?
Yeah, it was kind of weird. You know, going up into middle school, I had two very negative experiences lifting weights, right? And the first one was watch Hulk Hogan screaming on the TV about take your vitamins, say your prayers, and lift, right? And so I'm like, oh, yeah, fuck this. I'm going to go grab this gallon of milk. I'm going to empty it out, and I'm going to fill it up with water because for whatever reason, water probably weighs more than milk. And I went outside, and I'm doing front raises and curls and all kinds of crazy shit. My mom comes out, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Spanks me, you know, I get in trouble. And I was a little guy when I did that. My second experience was over at my dad's house. He had a, you know, little bullshit bench set up, you know, with the cement plates and all that. And I'd asked him, and I was probably 10 years old. I said, you know, can I bench? And he was, no, you're not going to bench. And so I waited for him to leave, and I climbed underneath the bench. And I don't know what I had on there, but it staples me to the bench. And so I'm stuck with two options. Either I sit here and hope I don't die, or I scream for help. And so I started screaming for help, and he came out, and he spanked me. So going up into middle school and having to, you know, kind of be forced to go to weightlifting, I had those two negative experiences, and I really didn't want to lift weights.
Yeah.
You know, basketball has always been kind of a passion for me, and I wanted to play basketball. I didn't want to lift weights and get big and bulky and, you know, whatever. So
I think you and Silent Mike are going to have a moment together in a second.
We can talk basketball all day.
I wanted to play basketball too. I'm short and I'm white. I'm slow.
So, first day of weight training class, you know, I'm in a wheelchair and it's really difficult to get around because it's this really small gym. Everything's a Smith machine. And this guy comes up to me, one of the kids in the class, and he said, you know, you should bench, see how much you could bench. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, let's put on whatever. And I don't remember at the time, but it was probably somewhere around 200 pounds, and I was able to do it. And it was much more than anybody else that was in the class. And the teacher observed it, and after the class, he came up, and this guy's this big, fat guy. He's bald, and, you know.
Does he have short shorts?
Yeah, short Pollard, shorts. Kind of
polo
weird.
Shirt
yep,
tucked in.
Yep, kind of weird.
Whistle.
Yep, sweat stains.
Kind of look like Mark.
Yeah.
Hey, now.
So he pulled me aside and said, you know, that's not how we lift weights. We do three sets of 10. There's no need to go to your max. And I just want you to understand you'll never be stronger than me. And I was pissed, right? Like, I've kind of always had this competitive nature to myself. And when he said that, like, I was pissed. Almost like when I went home, I almost started crying. I was so upset about it. And I told my mom, and she goes, you know, you just got to prove him wrong. And I was like, fuck it. Back then, you know, there wasn't any Facebook or internet or West Side Method or, you know, Slingshot or anything like that to train.
No Slingshot?
There was no Slingshot. And so,
poor world.
You had to just go and just kind of figure it out. And I was a kid and I just started figuring it out, you know, just stick with low reps and try to just get stronger and stronger. And about three quarters of the way through the year, the teacher had benched 315 about halfway through the year and struggled to get it on the Smith machine. And
what a piece of shit.
Yeah. So I put on 315 and I repped it out. And it was a good feeling.
There you go.
It was a really
That's
good
amazing.
Feeling.
Same year.
Who gave you the reinforcement of telling you that you can? Because, you know, a lot of times these things don't happen on their own. Was it your mom, your dad, friend?
Yeah, I think it was a lot of my parents. They both continuously told me, you know, you can do anything you want.
Right.
And I think a little bit of it was always trying to fit in with everybody else.
Right. So when you try to do something, they, rather than them stepping in saying, like, you can't, they would just kind of encourage or be supportive in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember being like a little kid. My dad took me to Disneyland. And at the time, I was a little upset about it. But I understand now. We went there and he asked me if I wanted a wheelchair. And I mean, I was like kind of butthurt about it.
Right.
I was like, no, I'm going to walk around like everybody else. And
yeah, he's trying to figure out how the fuck are we going to haul you around this whole place.
Yeah.
This,
and know, he was just being many a concerned miles. Dad and, you know, wanted to take the stress off of me. But it was like, you know, if this guy over here can do it, I could do it.
Right.
And I did. And it did just fine. And it was all those kind of things. I mean, my parents have always been super supportive. And somebody like my dad has always just kind of pushed me to be a little bit better.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I think people think that you can just that you do stuff by yourself, or that you become successful, or become a world record holder, you know, by yourself. And I noticed today when you were lifting that Courtney is like not only lifting with you, but she's lifting off for you, even on your heaviest sets.
Yeah,
and that has to be a huge help to you. You know, talk about when you met her and stuff like that a little bit.
Yeah, so we met about 3 years ago in the gym. She was doing some Olympic lifting. So I rolled in.
He laughs.
I got the aviators on. I got my gym bag, and I roll in, and I drop it, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is bench day. This isn't fucking go fuck off day."
Yeah, what is this chick doing? Putting stuff over her head? So stupid.
So I went up to her and introduced myself and asked her to come bench with me, and she did. And so we started working out
together. You're that gentleman? That's how you get it
That's
done.
That's how you do it.
Yo, let's bench.
Bench, please. Yeah. So we started training together, you know, and obviously right away I was super attracted to her, and it was a funny story. After she had left that first day we had met, I had went up to one of the guys I trained with, and I said, you know, she's the one. That's it. I'm done. Yeah. She's the one. And he goes, yeah, it was awesome. She was in the back room and farted. And it's like, well, whatever.
You're like, you were so impressed.
Like, whatever.
He's like, did it smell like roses?
She had the protein farts. But it was, you know, it's always been a ton of fun because she knows what buttons to push at the right time. You know, I'm the kind of guy that sometimes I'll kind of get into a little bit of a daze when I'm lifting just because I'm trying to go through the motions. And especially in competition, she'll say something and then I start grinding my teeth and I'm like, God damn it, fuck, I'm going to go get it now. And
right.
It helps so much because she knows what to say, when to say it. But then also, you know, I don't have to rely on somebody going to all my competitions with me or actually showing up to the gym, you know. It's nice to know that, hey, I'm doing this competition next weekend, and she's going to be there to lift off for me, which is super cool, you know. It makes everything so much easier for me.
Right. Yeah, I think it was cool to watch you guys interact today and to see her, like, handling those big weights. And then when you would go to rack the weight, she just, like, grabbed it and, like, fell backwards with it to kind of assist you to get it back into the rack, which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, you smashed some weights today. Yeah, what'd you hit?
I think I hit 555 for a single.
Yeah, you hit 535 before that for a double.
For a double, and then I did 585 for a pause single in the slinger, and then 605 for a pause in the slinger.
That was strong.
Yeah, I felt really good today. Everything was going really well.
Some big ass weights. What are some things that you do to, you know, to build up your bench press? Obviously, you know, you said you do some lower reps and use a slingshot to overload, you know, some other stuff besides
that. How many times a week you bench, and what kind of protocol?
Yeah, right now I bench one time a week, and it flips biweekly to heavy bench and light bench. On my light bench, I try to stay right around 75% and just try to fix some technique issues. Really not worrying about really anything else, just making sure. I'm a really big fan of lifting my head up when I bench, making sure my elbows are tucked in and flare at the right time. And so I really work on
that. Why do you lift your head up? I have people ask me that all the time about my fat head.
It's really about changing the momentum of the bar. I really feel like when I bring the bar down and I lift my head up, bar hits my chest, I slam back, and I'm just trying to create distance between me and the bar. And that's just kind of another way of, you know, creating that distance, helping with momentum.
I mean, they talk about pushing back into the bench as opposed to, you know, pushing the bar away from you. And that's I always thought that was true, too, with raising your head. You always feel like you're gaining momentum off the bottom that way.
Yeah. And in fact, I saw one of your power projects years and years ago when you would kind of do your videos and then your training videos and then talk over the top of them.
Right.
And you had talked about lifting your head up, and I started doing it, and it all made sense.
Yeah.
For me, I have to try to change momentum because my legs aren't on
you
the ground.
You copied me?
Yeah.
So this world record of yours is not really legitimate.
It's basically half yours.
Goddamn.
Congratulations, Smelly.
But changing the direction of the bar is really difficult for me because I don't have that leg drive. I don't have that way to transition.
Because you skip leg day.
I skip leg day.
Yeah, me and Mark were watching a video he took of you today when you bench, and kind of your stalling point or your explosiveness is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You're really fucking fast off your chest for about 6 inches, then you kind of grind 2 inches, and then you get really fucking fast again all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Like, that's not very typical. You get like two weird bursts.
Yeah, and that typically, I work a lot on those dead pin presses, and I think that's really helped my speed off of my chest. And I think my sticking point is when I transition it from my elbows being kind of tucked in to flaring out and bringing the bar a little bit more over my face. I'm really stalling at that, and that's what I really work on those lighter days.
What's like the rep scheme?
Yeah.
Something low?
Yeah, I always stick with two reps on all my heavy days. starting at 60%. So I front load my workout, basically doing some like lat pull downs, face pulls with bands, curls, rear delt movement, and then I move into benching right at 60%. And then on my heavy days, everything's
just basically
two reps.
Started on the bench with 365 today. Maybe you did. Yeah. Did you do
315? Nope. I don't touch anything under 315 ever.
You just started right at three plates.
Yeah. And two reps.
And he benches 585, you idiots that are listening. Yeah. Don't do this.
And he raises
his
head.
Yeah. If you bench 315 or 405, take the fucking
and
bar.
And he's not relying on leg drive.
He's a world champion. Yeah.
What was that, guy, Dominic? He was talking about everyone lifts 135 or whatever.
The
deadlift. The bro science.
Bro science life. Have you seen him?
Yeah, he's like, fucking he's everybody like, uses 135 to start.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you warm up with 135 on the deadlift. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I noticed when I was kind of doing like 135, 225, I was just burning myself out. I mean, I was doing 150 reps before I ever got to any kind of challenging weight. And right now, I mean, like today, I think I did maybe 18, 19 reps total.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really feel
kind of like a shirt adventure kind of does some of that.
He did
kind
about
of safe
five work. Or six sets that I would say are, you know, going to help build strength. You know, you did five or six sets that were challenging.
And typically today, obviously, I went a little bit heavier. I don't like to ever fail in training. I always like to get my two reps. So if I feel that the bar speed isn't that great, I'll either stay at that weight or make a very conservative jump. Today, Smelly kind of fired me up a little bit when he said, didn't you do 550 once or twice? And I'm like, God damn, well, I'll do 555 now. And so I was a little fired up. And obviously the atmosphere here is a lot different than training in our hometown. So, you know, I really wanted to bring it. And so I made that jump and stalled out on that second rep, and which was definitely a technique issue.
So with being just a guy that just benches, are you training your shoulders and your back and a lot of the other muscles?
Yeah, how many days are you in the gym?
Yeah, so I do a leg day, but it's a little sporadic, more of like biweekly, and it's just kind of just to help, kind of more of like rehab type stuff, just to help with mobility. But then I have a bench accessory day during the week where I don't do any pressing, but I will do a lot of overhead shoulder pressing. I'll do a lot of tricep stuff, front delt, rear delt movements, and then I have a back day. And then other than that, so usually per week I'm in three or four times a week, and that's it.
You're competing about a week away now, yeah?
Yeah.
Typically after a meet, or if you're way far out from a meet, do you bench more than once a week? Or do you always bench once a week?
Only once a week. And kind of what I've noticed, especially getting older, you know, when I was in my early 20s, benching two times a week worked out well. But, you know, now as I get older, I mean, I need the time to rest. And so I typically try not to do any kind of workout 3 days before I bench. And so I have those 3 days to really rest and kind of be at my prime when it's time.
You get
to bench.
The most out of each bench workout.
Yeah, because if you look at it, I'm only heavy benching 26 times a year. Right. You know? And then if you take a competition or maybe four competitions in, now you're down to 22 times. I mean, that you could waste a year really quickly.
Right.
And that's kind of the mind scheme I have with it is, you know, I don't want to waste those workouts. I want them to be beneficial and get as strong as I can.
Are you able to deadlift or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. Obviously super light. I typically do high rep stuff. I'll try to do timed like minute rep scheme.
So you do CrossFit.
I'm basically a CrossFitter. And I do that. It's more of just kind of like kind of a different form of doing my cardio. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to sit up there and just run on a treadmill. So we try to incorporate other stuff like playing basketball, racquetball, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, deadlifting for reps and
that's cool.
Shit like that. Shit that fries me. I mean, it's certainly challenging for me.
Yeah.
Can you shoot pretty good? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Knock down some good three pointers.
We randomly talked about this last week. Mark and I were like, he's going to have some weird talent. Mark's like, yeah, I could see him in the corner just knocking down trays all day.
Remember I said
he
that.
Said
that
was kind of
random.
Yeah. And we were just totally making it up.
What's funny is when
I got a fat uncle that looks a little bit like you. Knock down some three pointers all day. Yeah.
It's funny. So
you
got
to set him up, though. You got to set him up for him.
I played in a city league when Courtney and I first met. And so I invited her out to come watch one of the games. And you know, it's really embarrassing for me because I run funny, you know, and I was super nervous. And so right at the tip, I get the ball, I walk up and I shoot a three and make it. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm going to go off this.
You're getting laid tonight.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, I had that strut like, oh, this is on. And then I didn't make another basket the rest of the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think I got a technical and all kinds of shit. I probably fouled out.
Technical and like a City League's the worst. Yeah, you're just a dickhead. You're just punching people like, hey, fuck you, buddy.
Trying to rip my jersey off.
And why is he getting so serious? Yeah.
I was that guy.
You fucking just run off the court and start crying. Yeah.
But it was, I said, give me Gatorade. I don't like my towels warm. Yelling at a bench boy.
You know, and that was the fun thing about playing basketball is I'm not faster than anybody. I can't jump higher than anybody. I think I could shoot relatively well, but it was always nice to have people look at me and then they kind of just shake their head like, okay, comes a Special Olympic guy, and then hit a couple threes and they're like, fuck, I actually got to guard this guy.
Yeah.
And so it was always, it really made me feel good because I mean, every single game we're playing different people you've never seen before, and it was a repeat every week.
Speaking of the Special Olympics, you ever see that fucking guy bench like 683 or?
Is he Iranian or something?
Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah,
he gets strapped to the bench or something with a seatbelt or something like that.
He called me and asked me if he could do Larson presses, and I told him it was fine. He doesn't use wrist wraps. Some of his stuff.
Yeah, he looks big.
He's kind of fat.
He is fat. But man,
he looks like he has huge like wrists and forearms
looks like a
and
meat.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, what was his best bench? Did he do 680 or something?
Yeah, 690. It was right up there.
Jesus Christ, that's insane.
People come on the Spoto video all the time and say, oh, this guy's going to bench more because he doesn't have to rely on X, Y, and Z. Yeah, it's like, well, he hasn't yet, so.
Here's the thing that I think is interesting with somebody like him, and I've been in this position where I've gone into the gym and had to be on crutches because my leg was hurt or something was going on, had a surgery. And I can't tell you how challenging it is to walk on crutches all day, go to the gym, still be on crutches, and then work out. I mean, your arms are fried. And this guy's doing that every single day. He doesn't have to do it just for a week or two or maybe a year. He's doing it every day, and it's the amount of work that he has to put in to get to that level is second to none, for sure.
Mike and I did a seminar for Wounded Warriors, and there was a guy there that was on crutches. And then he went up to the bench, and what did he bench, 440?
Yeah, 315 and a bunch of bands for five.
Yeah, I think his best in a competition was like 440 or something. But
yeah, he was the biggest bencher there.
Yeah, same idea, man. Yeah, he's got to haul himself around on crutches most of the day. And
he
had
some leg
in
braces, I think.
And it sucks. The crutches are no fun.
Yeah, seems like it would be. Seems like it would be brutal.
Yeah.
What are you have many limitations nowadays, or everything pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, I don't run upstairs very fast. That's one thing.
That's a real bitch.
Yeah. I don't really think I have limitations.
Right.
There are things that I have to do differently.
Right.
We were painting the house last summer and climbing up a ladder. You know, there was a couple times where Courtney would say, hey, just let me grab that. Let me climb up the ladder.
Right,
I was like, fuck you. I'll do it. yeah. And it's challenging. I mean, it makes it a lot harder, but there's nothing that I can't do that anybody else can do.
You don't even think about it. You just try it anyway.
Just do it. Just fucking fuck do it. Yep. Yep. In fact, what's funny is I had to complete an obstacle course for the job that I work at. And right out of the gate, this lady pulls me aside and she goes, I know you're different than everybody else. But you're not going to pass this and we're actually going to wash you out. And it's kind of like your whole life. You're like, man, this is what I've wanted to do for years. And now you're telling me I can't do it because you think I can't do this. And
you're a proctologist, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that sounds like a fun obstacle course. Yeah.
So I just asked her, I said, well, how about you just let me try?
Right.
So let me just try it. And if I don't pass it, I'll just walk out. I'll pack my shit and I'll go. And she was very reluctant and eventually let me do it. And of course I passed it. And it's just that my mentality is I know when I do things like that, I look silly, right? Like I know when I play basketball, I run funny. And I just try not to think about it and just go out and do
it. But you don't run funny because of your hips. You run funny because you have a huge cock.
Yeah. That's the one good
thing.
That's
setting
you
off balance. Yeah. No one really realizes that's the main thing that's throwing you off.
Set up your tripod, knock down some trays.
The bobblehead.
Yeah, you tried running around with 11-pound dick.
That's the cool thing with the way that I walk. When I wobble back and forth, it just kind of just like smacks.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's fun. And so you have bruises on your legs,
sometimes,
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Neat. It is a rather awesome waddle that you do. Kind of hard to fit through doors and stuff, I'd imagine.
You turn sideways. And,
It's not too different than a regular powerlifting waddle, though, really.
Not really. The interesting thing is, like, when we got on the plane yesterday, I bumped into every single person.
Bonk, like, bonk.
Sorry.
You were like the drink cart?
Yeah. But it's nothing I can. I had my big six-pack backpack on, and I'm bumping into everybody, and it's hitting people in the face when I turn around. It's like, I mean, it is what it is. I can't fix it.
You dropped down quite a bit for these competitions, especially to break a world record at 220. You said you weigh 235 or something now.
Yeah, right now I'm about 235, 237.
And how are you dropping down for that? Do you normally just eat better a little bit before the meet, or do you consistently try to eat a lot of protein?
Yeah, people ask us a lot about weight cuts. Maybe you can give your urine secret Duffins.
Yeah, so
masterpiece.
You know, when I originally went from the 286 down to 220, I was doing the backloading, the carb backloading.
Right.
And I saw a lot of success from that. But what I've noticed is kind of just only eating carbs around my training times, like you had talked about, is what really is beneficial for me. I try not to eat a ton of carbs right before I work out typically. Sometimes the night before, if I know it's going to be a big workout, I know I got a competition coming up or yeah. I'm coming here, I'll have carbs the night before. But typically just following carbs after my training cycle, and then that's it.
And you for the actual weight drop, is there anything you do in particular, like the week of the meet or whatever?
Yeah, week of the meet, you know, obviously just increase my water by quite a bit, just eat super clean. Probably Tuesday, Wednesday, take out all my salt,
right.
and just really just watch what I eat.
And you zero carbs the whole week?
Yeah, zero carbs by a minimum of Wednesday.
And you drink a ton of water, and then you pull the water out like the last day or so, last 24 hours, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what I like to do is do it the morning of the weigh-in, and unless it's like 10 pounds. If I'm like right around 7 pounds, 8 pounds, I'll go in the morning of weigh-in. So that way I only feel like shit for a couple hours.
Right.
And so I'll get up at like 4 a.m, go sit in the sauna. Typically just takes a couple hours, and then go weigh in and, you know, really maximizing that time of feeling bad.
So it's pretty much just water manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keeping it pretty simple.
I typically sit, you know, when I was competing at 220, I was typically sitting about 234.
Right.
So I'm really right on track for all that.
After the after Chris Duffin's meet, what do you have planned after that? Is there going to be another competition you have set?
Yeah, this year is kind of a little crazy. I'm doing a couple of competitions, one on like May 9th up at the Emerald Cup, I believe, or whatever bodybuilding show they have up there. And then the following month, I'm doing kind of a guest lift at in Newport. And then in July, depending on how I feel and how kind of the weights are going, I might go down to Texas and bench at the Kings of the Bench.
When did you realize that you'd have a shot at this, you know, at the world record at a 585 bench press? You know, you said you started lifting when you were pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
You were stronger than some of your friends, you know, pretty early on. But with, you know, having a disability of the hips and things like that, I mean, when did that start to kind of, when did you start to kind of think about that? When you were like, shit, man, maybe I can kind of get close to this.
You know, when I first, I think everybody when they're training, they want to kind of leave their mark on something. And I've kind of always had that mentality training. And I didn't really know what direction I would go into, whether it be geared lifting or raw 220 or 275 or whatever. But it kind of all falls back on Chris Duffin. He came up to me one day, same thing. He's like, you know, you're benching 525 for 2-3 reps. I bet you can't do 585 and break the all-time record. And, you know, it really just bit me wrong. It's just like,
right.
Oh, fuck you, I can't do it. And so I really had my heart set on that, just simply because I wanted to show him I could do it. And it's a very friendly deal. I know he's doing it because he gets a rise out of me. It actually right. works. You know, that whole year that I trained for that competition to kind of break that record, I mean, there was a lot of setbacks where
right.
you get very disappointed. And I remember just a couple months before I broke it, we went to a competition and the world record judges didn't show up. So even if I would have done it, it would have counted. The weight cut was horrible. I didn't do the stuff I was supposed to do. Courtney, the night that I'm starving, I hadn't eaten all day, she makes brownies or cookies or something. So the whole house smells
sabotage.
Like, smells good. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, and I just freak out on
right.
her. And so we make this drive and it's like 3 hours from my house and I go down there and I don't get it. I fail like 580. I failed. And I actually got really emotional coming back home because it's like, man, I kind of neglected you and I kind of, you know, I yelled at you. I neglected my kids for, you know, 2 days
right.
trying to go through this weight cut. And it was super tough. And all that stuff just kind of started festering with me with Chris saying I couldn't do it and then failing at it. I knew if I had another shot at it, I wasn't going to give up the opportunity to break it.
Right. And then even when you broke it, there was some controversy about whether they're going to yeah. keep it and shit
yeah.
because your fucking feet were in touch with the ground.
It's so stupid.
The powerlifting rule.
Yeah.
Feet
yeah.
must touch the ground and can't move.
Yeah.
Not really.
But that's kind of like the vague rule, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So,
I mean, really, you know, the way that powerlifting is set up right now, the only thing that matters is powerlifting watch.
Yeah, yeah.
That to get your records through on powerlifting watch, the only thing that matters.
There are no records, and they're all bullshit.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, if you get your record through on there, then your record sits there forever, you know. But they should be smart enough to kind of say, well, yeah. not having your feet on the ground is not necessarily an advantage. It may yeah. even be a disadvantage, you know.
So I guess what ended up happening was after I broke the record, somebody messaged me on Facebook and said, just FYI, this isn't going to count because your feet are up and the rules state this. And, you know, I was super discouraged at first. You know, that was a couple weeks that nobody made a decision if it was going right. to count. And I was really frustrated about it because it obviously doesn't help. It makes it a little right. bit tougher. But eventually Powerlifting Watch approved it. They said back how many ever years ago somebody broke some record with their
right.
feet up. So past practice is this and they're going to allow it. But it's just kind of the bullshit of
right.
waiting and sitting around kind of wondering. It's like, you know, you're kind of wanting to put your mark on something and you did it. And now they're discrediting you because you can't do something.
Right. And you knew that if you knew that ahead of time too, you would have just had them put some plates down so yeah. your feet could at least right. you know, yeah. rest and yeah. they'd be in contact with the floor.
And that's the thing, you know, and you and I have talked about it. I think anything that I do, people are going to say that it isn't fair.
Right.
If I built, you know, when you came to Chris Duffin's house and that TJ guy or whatever his name was kind of gave me a hard time about not having my feet on the ground.
Right.
You know, if I built something and put my feet on the ground, people would say it's because of that.
Right.
You know, I'm cheating somehow. So
right.
It is what it is. I think anybody can put their feet straight out and realize they're not as strong as if they use leg drive.
Right.
So there's no real advantage there.
Right. Well, we've coined it the Larson press. We yes. use it as an accessory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's less stable.
Yeah, for absolutely.
Sure. Well, we've even talked about it when I'm watching videos of you. You know, a few years back, you and I were having a lot of conversations about your bench, and you were, you know, asking me some questions and stuff, and I kept saying, dude, you need to go fucking faster. I don't know why you're going so slow. And then you responded a few weeks later. You're like, hey, I figured it out. I figured out why I can't go fast. And I was like, well, what's the reason? And you're like, try having your feet up to go fast. And I nearly died. I nearly fell off the bench. I was like, I see what the fuck he's saying now.
Well, it's funny because I put 405 on and I told the liftoff guy, I said, hey, I'm just going to just let it free fall. And this is light enough weight that I can manhandle
right.
it. And so I bring it down super fast. I touch and it comes up about an inch and I can't get it any further.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. So we do it again and the same thing happens. And then it all started making sense. It's because I don't have
tight.
That momentum.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know,
right, right.
momentum of pushing off your legs and changing the direction of the bar, I just don't have.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting for me to try that. I almost fucking yeah. felt like I was going to tilt to one side and just eat shit and fall off the fucking bench altogether, you know?
It's funny. At one of the meets I did at Chris Duffin, they did a three-man liftoff for one of my lifts, and the guy, like, totally messed up the bar. And you see the bar just does, like, this whole, like, half circle until I finally kind of get it figured out. And stuff like that happens all the time, and it's challenging, very challenging.
Yeah, you could see even today you were trying to, you know, just a different bench and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It was a little different for you today, and you could see you kind of learning as you were going heavier. But once you got to the heavier weight, you actually moved it really well, so it didn't end up phasing you too much. But do you think that ends up being an advantage, just because it's building up your arm so much? So, you know, in a sense, because you're unable to use your legs, it's just targeting your upper body a little bit better?
Yeah, I think adapting to, you know, benching that way.
Right.
I'm certainly getting the benefits as if you guys did Larson right. presses all the time, you know, really working. I think identifying my weaknesses is the speed off of my chest. And that once I get that figured out, you know, you just keep getting stronger and stronger. So just identifying that and then incorporating those types of training in, like doing the long pauses with the slingshot, with the overload
right.
weight, all those things help out a ton for me.
There's a little more to the Larson press, too, besides, like, feet being up. That's obviously the obvious one, but, like, your back's kind of flat. Like, it's
yeah.
hard to get your back as tight as we do because we're, once again, driving our legs onto our traps.
Mm-hmm.
But your back's a little flatter, so your shoulders and triceps are really taking a thrashing.
Yeah. And I try as hard as I can to kind of set up tight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's very
limited.
You
can't stick underneath it.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's very limited. And as soon as I get a bad lift off or something, you know, goes out of whack, that's the first thing I do is flatten out.
Yeah, some coils.
Yeah.
You mentioned being interested in basketball. Do you watch basketball a lot?
Yeah, I'm a big
Blazer fan.
Yeah,
what do we got? Right. Kentucky is.
Oh, it's right now.
Is it today?
Yeah, everything's right now. Final Four. You watch college at all?
No, not really.
I don't watch college as much either anymore.
Yeah,
but Blazers doing all right. Damian Lillard.
Good. They just clinched last night.
Yeah, what'd they clinch?
The playoffs?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like buttholes.
Pinch your buttholes.
The fucking playoffs.
I guess Sacramento hasn't worried about that in years. So
yeah, it's been a while, man.
True. About,
it's been true. A while.
Yeah, we're a season ticket holder and trying
really?
To go to as many games
cool.
as possible.
It's a pretty cool arena, man. I've been down there. Like I said, we talked earlier. My sister lived up there, and the public transportation's awesome. So you just take whatever that fucking off-the-ground subway, whatever you guys call it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, but you take it down there, and the stadium's cool. It's lit up. Good view from everywhere.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you know, it's interesting to watch them kind of go from being a really good team to then the Jailblazers, and then kind of transitioning the whole culture back.
Dude,
to
I love that team though. Was it like
team.
Rasheed Wallace and stuff? Rasheed Wallace is so sick.
Yeah, it was a good team, but they were all a bunch of shitheads.
Yeah, were you up in Portland
back
in the
day?
Yeah, I was about
like Clyde
to say
Drexler. And
were you
like
in
that?
Portland during that time?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
That's like when my dad was there. He had season tickets. I was too little to understand it all, but. Fucking Clyde, so good.
Clyde the Glide. He was amazing.
Yeah,
there was
so good.
Actually, when I was a kid, it was probably 89, so I was 9 years old. I actually got the white pages out, and I started looking at Drexler because I thought maybe his name and phone number would be
in
the white pages.
He's going to say, what's up?
That's why I'm going to call him up. So the first Clyde Drexler that comes up, I call him. I'm like, hey, is this Clyde Drexler? He's like, yeah, well, what do you want? And I'm like, holy shit, are you kidding me? I'm your biggest fan. He's like, you're an idiot.
That's amazing, though, because no one even thought
That's
about
great.
That. Yeah. I never even thought about to look up, like, oh,
you had
Michael
22.9
Jordan.
Points a game last year.
Teach me how you do that finger roll, you son of a bitch.
Why wouldn't they put his number in the phone book?
God damn.
Stupid.
Clyde.
It was there.
It wasn't.
May have actually reached
wrong
the actual.
And he just hung up on you just because.
Yeah.
Did he sound black?
No, he sounded like 85 years old.
That's great, Clyde.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I was a Blazer.
Wait, what
fan.
Does sounding black even mean? That was racist.
Yeah, that was who said that?
That was so racist.
Not me.
You're a racist, Mark
that
Bell.
Was so racist.
Wasn't me. Wasn't me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was a Blazer fan back in like '88, kind of on and huge Blazer.
That's
fan.
A little bit past Bill Walton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Walton's amazing. I have a Bill Walton socks.
Oh shit.
With a Blazer jersey on, so good.
Yeah. I hate that guy.
You don't like Bill Walton?
No.
Yeah, Kings fans hate him,
he was
too.
He's kind of an asshole.
I love him.
He was an idiot.
Anybody who's amazing is an asshole.
Yeah, Kermit maybe. Washington. He was good.
He was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Just basketball. We should have a shoot-off later.
Let's do a shoot-off.
Yeah, we should.
What
go
else
to
are you
Mark's
into?
Got
you got some kids,
there.
Right?
Yeah, I got two kids. I have a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old. And it's awesome. It's kind of nice. You know, my dad kind of gave me the foundation of kind of doing whatever you set your head to or your heart to. And it's really interesting. I've kind of challenged my kids at different things without them really knowing.
Right.
And watching them
until
fail
now,
and fail.
When
and
they
fail.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't listen to this.
Yeah. One of the best stories I have is my boy. I took him to like a JJ jump, his inflatable houses and stuff. And he tried doing this obstacle course and he couldn't get over this wall. And he sat there and cried and cried and cried. And I was a dick to him. I was like, hey, if you want to do it bad enough, you'll figure it out.
Yeah,
if you don't, sit here and be a baby. And so like the 3 or 4 times after we'd gone there, he got it. And you see him at the top of this hill. Yeah, I did it, Dad. I did it. And it was awesome. You know, I didn't baby him and just say, hey, you know, well, let's go do something else.
I think that's really hard for parents these days to figure out how to back off and let their kids do stuff that they could potentially get hurt or at least very disappointed. Right. And, and we have really produced a generation of participation trophy kids, you know.
I remember when I first stepped in.
You always
gym.
Tell them, slow down, be careful.
Yeah.
Watch
what
you're doing.
Yeah.
Watch your step. Be careful. You just say it over and over again. Eventually. They're going to always be careful.
Yeah,
with everything.
They're always
going to
be afraid.
With
yeah,
fucking shit. You know?
And I don't want my kids to get that participation award, you know,
right.
Just because they showed up. You know, I remember when I first showed up at the gym and I was training with a bunch of elite lifters at the time. They did not baby me. You know, they were assholes to me. And if you weren't there helping unrack weights and really being active with everybody, I mean, they'd throw something at you. And it was kind of like nowadays you go to the gym and you got to, hey, great job, buddy. You benched 135. Nice work. Where you shouldn't get that.
Right.
You should get it when you accomplish something. And, you know, to this day, I'll do things or activities with my kids and I won't let them win. I'll show them that they have to earn that, you know, and it's a little bit of me just being competitive, but I don't want my kids to grow up thinking just because I try, I'm going to be good at something.
Right.
There's been times where my daughter's sat down and bawled because she didn't beat me in something. And it's like, you just got to get better. You got to keep trying.
Right.
And an interesting story about her, she just got done playing her first season of basketball. When she started, she couldn't get the ball up high enough to make a shot. And so we sat in the garage every single day with a 12-pound medicine ball, throwing it up.
Training.
Training.
There you go.
Yeah. And she thought that was awesome. And 2 weeks of doing that, she was making baskets in the game, and it was tough for me. I mean, I got super emotional watching her actually right. make a basket. I mean,
isn't that the worst? You're such a little bitch, right? Yeah, my son hits a ball. I'm like, yeah, I got
sinus problems.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You know? Oh, this wind's really kicking up out here.
But it's
dark
cool.
glasses. That's what it's all about. Yeah. Dark glasses.
It's cool watching them succeed and knowing that it's
just because watching them have fun, watching them try, watching them learn.
It's because of their own effort, not because I'm handing them something.
Yeah, yeah. It depends on the kid too, because some kids are Velcro, and some kids are Teflon.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I had a kid that was totally Teflon. He made the last out in a playoff baseball game by striking out, and it didn't bother him at all. Ugh. He was happy to be there. He played really hard, whatever, but it didn't cost him anything.
Yeah.
To have that end, you know, and I wish I was more like that, really.
Yeah, I am not that person. If I fail at something, I mean, it really bothers me for a long time.
Yeah.
Really long time.
What did your son say to you?
So we had a talk about 8 months ago or so. We were laying in bed. We have what we call guy time at nighttime. And basically we just wrestle and watch Spider-Man and, you know, do guy shit. And
me and Mike do that.
Yeah. Fart. Fart.
Guy time, hey!
So
grab each other's butts.
I have my shirt off. And
good
we're
game, buddy. We didn't play a game. Good game.
I took my shirt off. We're wrestling around in the bed, and he kind of looked down at me and said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, those are nipples." And
I love where this is going.
And he says, "Dad, only girls have nipples." And I said, "No, you're wrong." And I said, "This is, you know, where your nipples are going to be." And we kind of had a talk about it. Everybody's got them. And no, Dad, you're wrong. So later that night, every night when we go to bed, we kind of have an argument about who loves who more. And so we're having this argument. And he kind of pauses and he's like, "Dad, I love you even though you have nipples." It's like, all right, I can take that.
God damn. You do have a lot of beef up there.
Yeah, yeah. They make fun of me all the time. They got boobs. And
I was thinking we could take some of that beef up there and put it down on the calves.
I was thinking that first we should start with the chin.
Which one?
Well, that's exactly right. Maybe if we could take some of that first.
It's like you're storing a lot of water in there in case of there's a fucking drought.
Sure, there is a drought.
There is a drought. Yeah, I saw a sign.
Yeah. We're dying.
Stick a spigot in there. Let's go. You got to have that bloat for those big benches.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I cut weight. Just suck it up.
What what's your eating like? We were talking about protein shakes and stuff earlier. You talked about no carb or whatever, but do you track anything? You just try to get a certain amount of protein in?
Yeah, I really just try to stay low carb, eat a lot of meat during the day, and then at nighttime, specifically after like a heavy training session, I try to take about 80 grams of protein and drink that first, and then slowly start eating. But you know, typically, like we talked about, most of the proteins that I've had. You just get full.
Yeah.
Your stomach gets a little upset.
Then you go down to Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
Fucking eat your face off.
Typically after
have you ever tried
session,
whacking off instead of eating like a donut?
No. while I eat a donut?
I don't get it. That would be heaven. Actually, I'm not talking about dying just yet.
The third element is crying. Whacking off, eating a donut, crying.
I wonder how many views I'd get on that on YouTube.
A lot. Well, I don't know. A lot. Depends on how big that donut is.
Hey now.
So after a training session, I eat typically.
It was a serious question. You never answered it.
I said, so back to bench press. Let me tell you about my bench press.
God damn. All right, get that script out. I think we need it. Did it come up yet?
No, I'm sorry. It's not come through yet.
All right, what else you got to say, Adrian Larson? Anything else?
You and Smelly are having an egg hunt tomorrow morning, I heard.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's meeting my family. This
is going to be super weird. It was kind of poor planning on my part. You know, just not keeping track of when Easter was, I guess.
Well, we have a wonderful...
What the fuck? Yeah, they move it every year.
I know.
We have a wonderful bunny suit for you.
Make all the kids happy. Yeah.
You're going to be running around with a lot of Cadbury eggs tomorrow.
I love it.
I had a chocolate Cadbury egg. I've never had that before. That was fucking delicious.
What about
fudge on the inside? Yeah, it was like chocolate caramel on the inside. I don't know what the fuck it was.
Those little chocolate eggs, those things are amazing.
Why is it the best chocolate? And it's like the cheapest, grossest. And everyone's like, oh, that's cheap. Like, no, this milk chocolate and this piece of shit egg tastes delicious.
Yeah, it's Cadbury. That goddamn company.
They can only sell it one time a year, so I think it's probably been sitting there for 5 or 6 years. So.
Aged well.
Fermenting. The Reese's fermented eggs chocolate. Shit all over all the other ones, though.
Yeah, Reese's.
The Reese's eggs. And all those gas stations are always a million degrees, so like the peanut butter cup's halfway melted.
Yeah.
Fuck, you gotta try to save it and put it in your
fridge.
That's
kind of your vice, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah. Take some of that, throw in vanilla ice cream, milk, boom, milkshake, game over.
Oh, it's so good.
That's my problem. That's what I talk about is, you know, when trying to cut weight and try to be a 220. My problem is, yeah, when I eat stuff like that, I don't eat just, like when I get a thing of ice cream, you know, you might get a scoop or two of it and then call it good. I mean, I eat the whole freaking thing.
Yeah, that's one serving is a tub. Yep. Yeah, just like a box of cereal. Yep. That's a serving.
It's done, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a big salad bowl and pour. Boston flakes in it.
Sounds like a good idea.
I just go straight out of the box.
Eat it with a ladle.
After you're done eating, you start sweating, and you're just sitting there like, what's going on?
Even ice cream?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. You sweat after you eat ice cream?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's not good.
sounds terrible. All right, where can people find you at? I know you have a book, bench press and book, and what else you got going on?
Well, we got the website going with a blog on there. Just kind of
the website is
www.alphaprojecttraining.org.
There you go.
Kind of long.
Org. Isn't that supposed to be like educational?
Yeah, it is.
That's educational. That's a fancy website. Oh, yeah.
It's organizational?
Yeah.
Whoa. Probably with the worst.
Just organ.
How much you don't bench.net.
How much you don't bench.
Piggyback off of you.
How much you bench.com.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting articles on there that kind of talk about, you know, why you incorporate Larson presses or how it would benefit maybe people that are able to use their legs. And then also some of the different training techniques that I use. You know, back when you and I originally talked about my training, I was kind of stuck doing like a modified Westside program where I was benching heavy and then a speed day every week, and it was ridiculous. I wasn't making any gains. And
we're then, recovering.
I wasn't recovering. And we talked about going light, heavy, and then and front loading your workout by doing some of your accessory work at first, and then going into benching. You know, so I've taken that training and kind of just dissected what's worked really well for me, and then some of my training partners, and then I wrote an ebook on it. And I'm a true believer. I mean, our conversation we had is the difference of why I broke that record. You know, we've had several.
You stole all my methods.
Yes.
And you're making
and now
money
I'm making
off
money off it.
That's great.
Yeah. That's what we do in powerlifting.
No, I remember our conversation. I remember it was just a few months later. You fucking smashed a record. I'm like, why can't I take my own advice? Yeah. What the fuck's wrong with me?
Well, and, you know, I think what's interesting is you and I hadn't really talked for a couple years. We saw each other a couple times. And
we don't always see eye to eye. I'm just kidding.
It was.
You both have nipples. You think you'd get along so well.
We don't always see nipple.
And so it was interesting to say, hey, you know, I need some help. And when you had told me to do stuff a certain way, I remember going to the gym and almost kind of having to convince myself the stuff I'm doing now isn't working. You have to try something new. And I've always kind of been stuck on that. You know, you have 52 weeks a year to make a difference. And once your years are up, you know, once you've reached your peak and you're on the downward is when it's over. And you look at these 52 weeks and you want to make that difference, and it's super tough to hear somebody say, here's how I want you to change this. And it's just being stubborn and thinking that your method is maybe the right way or what you're doing is the right way. And, you know, I convinced myself that first workout. I was like, you know, I got to give this a try. You know, if he says it's good, it's got to be good, so I'm going to try it out. And we misunderstood each other. Well, I misunderstood you. You know, we were talking about lifting, starting at a certain percentage, and I was like, fuck it, I'll do whatever I want and do this. And I called you up, and I was like, hey, so it worked great. This is what I did. You're like, why the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, but it worked good. And you're like, well, I'm going to try it. And so it's awesome. I mean, the training style that way, it just saves. It seems like I always have gas in the tank for heavy bench days.
Right.
And so the ebook just kind of details how you set up your weeks and, you know, what percentages to use, what kind of rep scheme to use. And I really simplified it. So I believe that a beginner could pick up that book, read it, and go, I understand all of this. You know, I wasn't using powerlifting terms like bend the bar or, you know, things that maybe a beginner would look at and go, I don't understand that. Even some of the accessory work that we do with, like, front raises, I described exactly how to do it. So that anybody could look at it, read it, and go, I understand this.
Well, a lot of times we take it for granted. We just say front raises.
Yeah.
And we just leave it at that, like, oh, everybody knows, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you want them to do it a certain way with a certain technique, a certain style, certain reps, and so on, you got to really explain it, right?
And that was a challenging thing. You know, when I first started writing the book, it was very easy to just write it out and go, okay, so go do this, this, and this. And then you look at it and go, fuck, if I'm not Adrian Larson reading this, I don't understand any of it. You know, what are Larson presses or what are dead pin presses? And you and I even had a conversation about that, about, you know, really make it so you can hit a really big audience instead of just a powerlifting community. And so really simplified it. And I've gotten a ton of great feedback.
Yeah, even if you say something like use 65%, sometimes people are like, well, 65% of like what?
Of what?
You know, because they might not even have a base yet. Like maybe they really haven't done a max or they haven't done one in a while. So you can say, all right, well, just how about a 7 out of 10 in terms of like effort, you know?
Yeah.
That's a little easier to understand.
And I'm starting to realize that now doing some of the online coaching, talking to people and, you know, say, hey, go do this. And they're like, so what exactly is that? And that's where you start realizing, okay, we all have different terms for stuff, you know. Some people say I bench with my feet up, and I call them Larson presses. Mm-hmm. Some people say I do a bodybuilding press, and some people call them Spoto presses.
Right.
And so you have all these different terms, and so simplifying it,
right.
You know, really understanding that you really need that to reach everybody, so it makes sense to everybody.
Awesome, man. Well, it was great having you on the podcast, and it was great working out with you today. You guys can look at that video in an upcoming video on the youtube.com/supertraining06. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle. I'm at Mark Smellybell on the Twitters and the Instagram, and also check out at MB Slingshot on Instagram.
Later. MB Slingshot. Yeah, you can check me out. Silent Mike with 2 K's, Instagram and Twitter. Look on Twitter for that Reebok contest, custom Reebok giveaways.
And may all your shits be tapered.
Why don't you have 3 K's?
Yeah, that's bad. Ugh. I know there's a lot of that up in Portland, but
I'm Jim McD, STDV, everywhere that I want you to find me, which is Instagram and Twitter. Follow the show on Instagram, Mark Bell's Powercast, Twitter at STGymSack, Facebook.com/supertraininggym, and we will talk to you again soon.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues. Take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.